Demonstrators are gathering in Washington, D.C. this weekend today to protest the World Bank and International Monetary Fund tomorrow in support of abortion rights. Backers say that tomorrow's march, called the March for Women's Lives, is needed to raise awareness in the face of recent successes by opponents of the Roe v. Wade decision. But as NPR's Julie Ravner reports, it's the subject of controversy even among abortion rights advocates.
By nearly any measure, it's been a good year for opponents of abortion rights. President Bush last year signed the first ever federal ban on an abortion procedure. Earlier this month, he signed another bill making it a separate crime to injure or kill a fetus during the commission of a federal violent crime on a pregnant woman. Kate Michaelman, president of the abortion rights group NARAL Pro-Choice America, says the timing of her event is just right.
If we do not march now, if we do not speak loudly that this country is pro-choice, that we believe in the right to choose as a fundamental American right and value, we will lose the right.
But whether or not a majority of the country supports abortion rights, Michaelman concedes her forces have little leverage at the moment beyond demonstrations.
The anti-choice movement has every institution of nationally elected government in their control. The House of Representatives, the Senate, the White House, and they're moving steadily to the courts.
But the march has proved controversial even within the abortion rights movement. Originally, it was to focus solely on reproductive rights and was sponsored solely by mainline abortion rights groups. But after some complaints, the focus has been expanded. Now it's called the March for Women's Lives. It will address issues of justice and basic health care, as well as abortion and family planning. The list of sponsors has also been expanded to include groups representing minority women. Even so, some abortion rights advocates, like David Garrow of Emory University, question the worth of plowing so much time and effort into one weekend. Garrow also says that Washington is not where abortion rights forces should be directing their energies. While much has been made of the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, now under challenge in the courts, and the Unborn Victims of Violence Act,
neither of those statutes have any tangible effect on the reproductive services available to American women.
Instead, says Garrow, abortion rights supporters should be focusing much more on state legislatures, where laws mandating waiting periods for abortion or parental involvement in minors' abortion decisions, for example, have a far more immediate impact.
Those battles, history shows very clearly, account for an awful lot more than the purely symbolic political tussles in Washington, D.C.
Marchers also have to face the profound shift in the way the public looks at the developing fetus. Douglas Johnson of the Anti-Abortion National Right to Life Committee says his side has been aided by medical advances, like the ability to perform surgery on fetuses still in the womb, and in particular by the widespread use of ultrasound.
It's very common for people, of course, now to get these pictures of their unborn children very early, even in the development, and put them up on the refrigerator and name the babies. And all of this does have an effect over time on how people think about abortion, particularly among the younger age groups. They no longer swallow this nonsense from the 60s or the 70s that this is mere tissue or products of conception and that there's no issue with respect to human life here.
Indeed, NARAL's Michaelman says she's worried that a whole generation of women have no recollection of an America where abortion was illegal.
I'm a woman who had a pre-Roe abortion. I know what it's like not to have the right to choose, to be humiliated by not having the right to decide that I cannot bear a child and have the right to a safe and legal abortion. Women today don't have that experience.
That's one reason March organizers have been eager to reach out to women under 30. Sylvia Enriquez is 29 and the executive director of the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Health. She says she and many of her younger colleagues take a broader view of reproductive rights.
We frame it in terms of basic access to health care, including access to health insurance, access to prenatal care, and of course, always having a very strong stance on abortion rights.
Abortion rights supporters also agree that the movement needs to emphasize the freedom to have children as well as not to have them. That would be one area of common ground with the other side, but probably not in an election year. Julie Ravner, NPR News, Washington.